And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
The living brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is high integrity. My first guest is a local personal productivity guru who shared tips to improve workplace performance and develop our own personal integrity. My next guest is a marketing guru, but we're not going to talk about marketing today. He's coming on the show to discuss what he sees wrong in America and how we can return our country to the integrity that it once had. If you want to join in the conversation with Jack Trout and me, you can always call us at 639-0008. Jack is the president of Trout and Partners, which is headquartered in Old Greenwich, Connecticut, here in the United States, but it has offices in 13 countries around the world. Jack started his career in the advertising department of General Electric. From there, he went on to become a divisional advertising manager at Uniroyal. He teamed up with Al Reese in an advertising and marketing strategy firm, and they worked together for over 26 years. Together, they authored a number of books. The list is too long to mention here, but suffice it to say that every book that Jack has ever written, I have purchased and I have read. The reason I'm having him on the show today, however, is that his annual Christmas letter came out, and in the letter, he asserts that America has experienced what he calls a nervous breakdown. So I wanted to invite him on the air, not only to talk about what he means by this nervous breakdown, but to get to some solutions of how we can solve it as well. So Jack, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you, Bill. I'm fine.
Good, good. Thanks so much for being our guest today. And the guests, my listeners have not had the benefit of reading your annual Christmas letter, which goes out to hundreds of people around the globe. So if you don't mind, give us the basic thesis of your annual Christmas letter that came out just a few days ago.
Okay, well, what it is, as I call it, a Christmas letter for the times. And I've been writing these things for a number of years. And rather than do a sort of a typical Christmas type thing, I do sort of a state of the nation type thing as to what's going on and whatever. So sort of an overview. This year, I really reflected on the craziness that's kind of going on in our country right now because of the fear, you know, the financial crisis, the elections, all the people out there spending jillions of dollars trying to frighten us. And what I observed, if you really take a study it, I've observed that America seems to be sort of tilting into what I call a nervous breakdown. And what I mean by that is essentially if you study what a nervous breakdown is, and you'll discover that number one, we all have a defense mechanism against outside stimuli. In other words, we can handle the fact that the sky is not falling. But what happens to people when that defense mechanism breaks down and these stimuli start to get in to people's minds, what happens is you slowly become angry, you become very agitated, nervous, to the point where eventually you just can't cope anymore. And you either end up in bed or you never leave the house. And that's a bona fide nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we are going through is something very similar in that all of this enormous amount of divisive, negative input that we've gotten primarily through the talk radio crowd, the Rush Limbaughs and the Glenn Becks and all these people, and then on the other side of the coin, you know, the MSNBC people. I think people are, and then the economy, people are moved into what I call a frightened, angry, sort of semi-nervous breakdown mode. And that's why you're seeing a lot of crazy things happening out there. A lot of it's being driven by the media. It's being driven by the blogs, the internet, stuff that has absolutely no bearing on reality or truth. People are beginning to get hear and listen to believe.
Well, certainly I would agree with you that there's more input from a variety of different sources today than there were 15 years ago. You know, 15 years ago, CNN was the only 24-hour news channel that we had. The internet and blogs, per se, didn't exist. We weren't getting bombarded with all the stimuli that we are currently having. I'm not sure that all the stimuli is either a good thing or a bad thing. So explain to me, Jack, if you will, why all of this extra stimuli is creating this higher level of anxiety.
Well, what it does is this stimuli breaks down our defense mechanisms. Suddenly, we begin to think that the sky is falling. Suddenly, people are saying, uh-oh, America's future is in jeopardy. Uh-oh, the country is, you know, we're not going to be able to work our way out of our problems. So what happens, and what you left out is one big ingredient, all the millions of dollars that were spent in the last election by all these various special interests.
Yes.
Pouring in stuff, and a lot of what was being communicated was inaccurate, not truthful, but or just flat-out lies, but that on top of, as you say, the growth of media, has just made the noise level enormous. And if you can't handle, as I say, all this stuff that's out there, if you start to listen to it and believe it, it can drive you crazy. And that, I think, is what's driving the, and then the economy. That's a big issue here.
Sure. Well, the economy is the number one issue for 2010, looking back on the year, if you had to summarize it, in all of its various forms. There's no question about it. We're talking to Jack Trout, everybody. And, Jack, I hear what you have to say, and, of course, I've read the letter as well. I want to throw an alternative theory out at you and get your impressions on this as well. Your theory presupposes that we don't have the filters to be able to filter out the good noise from the bad noise, or that somehow we've lost our ability to filter those things out.
Yeah, the defense mechanisms, right.
Defense mechanisms, as you call them. That's right. But, you know, I contend that reasonably intelligent people do have those filters in place, but the reaction that we're getting, the cocooning that we're seeing with people staying more and more in their homes, the reaction that we're getting to all of the media, the advertising that you mentioned as well, could just as easily be a symptom of guilt that we're feeling for this decade of overindulgence and overspending that we have gone through, fueled in large part by easy money from the banks. We can take out second mortgages on our homes, great consumer marketing that drives us to want products that we don't need. You know, go take a second out on your home so that you can go buy that camper trailer that you've always wanted all of your life and that kind of stuff. And now the birds have come home to roost and we're having to cope with the guilt of that overspending for the last decade. What do you say to that?
I don't know if that many people are out there are that guilty yet. I think the more thoughtful people, and that's what you're talking about here, the more thoughtful people probably understand that and say, oh yeah, we've been living beyond our means for too many years, and now we're going to have to work our way out of our problems. It's going to be a painful but slow adjustment. I'm assuming that, yeah, the thoughtful people, but that's my point. My point is, you got to become one of those thoughtful people. In other words, too many people are not thoughtful. Too many people run on these sound bites and these blogs, and they gather information. I've seen people interviewed by, you know, somebody asking about a silly idea, and this woman, and they said, "Well, you believe that?" And she said, "Oh yeah, I saw it on the internet." I mean, can you believe that? I mean, that's the problem. Hold on a second.
Sure, Jack. We're talking to Jack Trout, everybody, and he is the president of Trout & Associates. But we're not talking about marketing today, yeah, which is his forte. We're actually talking about the Christmas letter for the Times that he sent out for the year 2010. We're talking about what's contained in that letter and solutions to return America to the integrity that it has always had in the past. And Jack, that's really what I want to come to. So you're saying in your letter, the first step is to limit the input so that we can get back to a healthier state of mind, put our filters back in place, et cetera, so that we get out of the state that we're in. And I'm going to ask you to take it to the next level because we're leaving 2010, going into 2011. What are the next steps going to be? So we limit the input. We get a little bit more stability around our thinking. What do we need to do next in order to return America to its rightful place and its rightful integrity?
Well, first of all, the average person, as I say in the letter, the trick is to get the facts. Make sure that what you're getting, you work hard at making sure you're getting both sides of the issue. You got to get the facts. All right, now, what I think where America has to go now is essentially we have to understand that we have some structural problems in this country that have to be dealt with. Yes, there's the economy. Yes, there's the deficit. Yes, there's a lot of everything. There's a whole number of problems. That the healthcare issue is a problem. We have to deal with these problems if we're going to have the kind of future that everybody is nervous about.
Sure.
And I think that is the key. The key is to say, wait a minute. What are the problems? How do we work our way through these problems? You take the deficit, which of course is a big issue.
Yeah,
I mean, we're going to have to make some changes.
Some
we can't live you know, like we did before. We're going to have to, you know, entitlements, defense. This is stuff that's going to have to, you know, we're going to have to make some calls on this stuff.
Right.
We can't afford our empire anymore around the globe. That's a painful issue, which we're going to have to deal with. So America, I think, has to come to grips with, all right, what are the problems, and how do we work our way out of it?
Well, let's take the three problems that you've mentioned, the economy, the deficit, and health care. All three of those are so polarized and so charged with emotion that it's difficult to have any kind of resolution because we can't have any meaningful, constructive dialogue around those issues. So how do we get to the point where we can even have a discussion about addressing those three issues that you've just mentioned?
Well, look, I actually had a meeting with Axelrod, all right, Mr.
Really?
Obama's guy, a couple of weeks ago in the White House. Mm-hmm. And I sort of said, look, the trick here, the key is the president. In other words, I really feel that essentially it's the president's job to step up and to lay out the problems and to sort of say, here's what we got to do, here's what we're trying to do, give people some clarity about, you know, what we're trying to accomplish and what we have to accomplish if we're going to have a strong future, if we're going to restore America's future. In other words, we really need to have that kind of political leadership. And we can't have Washington just screaming at each other. We do have, so the starting point, I feel, is essentially the president to lay out the problems and the solutions that are on the table, and then begin the dialogue. I agree.
All right. Now, that's an interesting point by in and of itself, because let's say that President Obama does step up and does exactly what you say. First of all, the medicine is pretty bitter, and so a lot of Americans are going to get turned off by what the prescription is to solve the problems that we're in. That's number one. And that could cost the president, or any politician for that matter, his office if he comes up and tells the naked truth about what's out there. That's number one. And number two, the last time we've had a problems of this magnitude was the Great Depression. And the beauty of that era was that Franklin Delano Roosevelt served for four terms. He did not have term limits that he had to worry about. So he could actually lead us through that decades-long process of returning ourselves to prosperity. President Obama, even if he steps up and does that, will have the luxury of only one more term in office, and the last 2 years of that term will be a lame duck term, or lame duck portion of his term anyway.
Well, you're making a big assumption. I mean, as soon what did Roosevelt? Roosevelt gave a pivotal speech. All we have to steer is fear itself.
Yes.
He really laid out and said, "Look, folks, the sky is not falling, but we can't get crazy and we can't get fearful." This is almost a flat replay, and he was in a worse time than we have now, economically. So it's almost a straight replay. In other words, fear is what drives people's nervous breakdowns, believe me. And essentially what we have to step up and say, no, guys, let's not get crazy. Let's not get swept away by all this stuff. We have to work, but here's the problem. And we got to lay it out there. And I think if people have a sense of, okay, I mean, if you take the deficit, which has been talked about, if you simplify the problem, it's very simple. What drives the debt is defense, Medicare, and Social Security. Those are the big numbers. And the offset of that is revenue from taxes. That's the whole deal. Put it on the table and say, all right, gentlemen, how are we going to cut down on some of those expenses, defense, Social Security, Medicare? How are we going to handle that? And what are we going to do about revenue? Where do we get more revenue to cover those numbers? I mean, that's what I mean by, I think America, enough of America is ready to sit down and understand that. If you simplify it, in other words, in essence, the health care issue, which was a big, big debate. Look, 50 or 60 million people don't have health care. That's part one of the problem. Now it's controlled by insurance companies, right, which essentially are not doing great things for sick people so they can make more money. So what are we going to do about that? I mean, in other words, you've got to simplify these problems that people can say, aha, okay, I get that. I see what you're trying to do.
Sure. Even in a simplified state, though, Jack, people were talking about the facts behind it. And your first premise is stop and get all the facts. We couldn't get facts surrounding even the health care issue because one side was saying that there were 40 million people without health care. Another side was saying, no, that number is exaggerated. It's only 17 million. maybe we're just arguing over decimal points, but the reality is that we couldn't even come to an agreement over the facts. And that's one of the challenges that we have in this country, is where do you go to find the authentic facts?
Well, I don't disagree with that. And I have been after people in the media, some friends of mine in the media, to say, I was chasing CNN folks around. I said, you know what? You guys, your idea, your strategy should be about truth and the facts. We got one side is yelling one thing, and the other side's yelling. Who's in the middle, sort of trying to get their arms around what's real and what's not real? In other words, we need more of that in the media. We need more people saying, "All right, let's get away from all this stuff." But then the other side of the coin is people have to understand that what they're getting fed on places like the internet is a sewer. It's the good and the bad and the ugly. It has to be screened and filtered very carefully. People have to learn to understand that. So we're in a lot of interesting problems that inhibits, as you point out, fact gathering.
Well, it does. And if people want honest facts, one place that they can turn is right here to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, because we do bring on the best guests in America to try to sort out these issues. Jack, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. You bring up some very compelling points. I hope people listening to the sound of your voice liked what they heard. If they did and they want to learn more about what you have to say on the current state of America or any of your marketing ideas, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, I go troutandpartners.com is our website. That'll get you to me, or at least get to what I do from a strategy point of view. It's not going to get you into the political stuff. This is a side game.
But it is some of the most fun stuff that you produce every year. So thank you so much for doing that. Thank you very much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Jack, we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, Bill. Thank you.
Take care.